is not only the shifting of priorities, I'd say radical shifting of priorities, where Jesus becomes our everything and everything else in life is filtered through our relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing is a desire to tell people about the greatest thing that has ever happened to us. This is a sign that we've changed. This is a sign that we view what Jesus has done for us as the most important thing in our life, and that's demonstrated by our desire to tell other people about it. You tell other people about good things that happen to you or good things that go on in your life, don't you? You're excited to tell people. Do you get a new car? Do you want to tell people? You want to drive by your neighbors, make sure they see it? Play your music really loud and say, hey guys, how's it going? Did you get a new car? Oh, yeah, we got a new car. Yeah. Someone gets engaged, excited to tell people. If someone gets married, if you get accepted into a college or a school, if you get a good grade on your test, you're excited to tell people. So let me ask you, how excited are you to tell people about your living water, about your living hope, about the reason for your existence, about the one who saved your life? How excited are you about that? It may be that we don't share is because we're not that excited about it. The good news has just become okay news. Maybe it's become old news. Maybe there's other things that are really exciting to us, like the news of the world and the most recent things that are going on social media or online, and those are really exciting to share reels with and copy and paste recent things that happen at Coldplay concerts and things like that. Maybe that's really exciting to us. And I think if I'm honest, that there are times where there's other things that can be more exciting to me. And I have to really ask myself, have I got to a place where I've left my first love or stagnated? Maybe I've gotten discouraged in sharing the gospel. Maybe I've shared it with people and been rejected, and it just hurts. When I pull out of my driveway every Sunday morning and come to church, I go past 3 or 4 houses of people who used to come to our church because I invited them, and now they don't come. I see their cars in the driveway. I see them mowing their lawns, getting ready for outings and expeditions and things while we're going to church. It hurts. But I will say, before we move on, let's recapture the goodness of the good news. Like this woman, she has become an evangelist because simply she was touched by God. She became an evangelist. Her message was not theologically rich or deep, not apologetically deep or insightful. It was simply, come see a man, get this, who told me all things I ever did. There's another shift taking place here. Initially, when she was talking to Jesus, Jesus asked her to bring her husband, and she said, I don't have a husband. She didn't want to talk about her past. She had guilt. She had shame. She didn't want to share with this stranger the fact that she actually had 5 husbands and she's living with someone. She didn't want to tell him that. But now she goes into the city and finds people, men to talk to, and she tells them, this man told me all the things that I did. Those things that were previously things of guilt and shame were no longer things of guilt or shame because they're part of her testimony. So now she's saying, look, there's a man and these things that I have done, he told me about him and I'm telling you. And now she's saying them because she's a new creation in Christ. She had no more shame over those things anymore. And that was part of the good news. Part of the good news is I did all those things. And yet, this man said, I didn't know the gift of God. It would be grace. It wouldn't be based on what I did or didn't do. This man told me that it would be a gift, that I can have a gift despite who I am and despite what I've done. That he tells me I could have living water. That my soul could be satisfied, that I can be cleansed and clean and have eternal life. And I'm telling you, this is such good news. I did all those things, and yet he told me I can have eternal life. This is her testimony. This is what we share with people. I was lost, and now I'm found. He saved my life. I would hate to see what I have become or would have become without him. He saved my life and he can save your life too. That was her message. If someone's truly saved, you have enough to tell people about it. Don't ever let Satan discourage you of thinking you don't know enough. Or you're not like those YouTube guys that do it so well. You're not Ray Comfort. Or that Cliff guy. What's that Cliff guy's name? Anybody know that Cliff guy on YouTube? Yeah. I don't know. It starts with a K though, but I saw that guy in In-N-Out after church a couple weeks ago. Yeah, pretty cool. But you may say, I'm not those guys. And so you may say, well, I'll just send somebody a video of those guys. And I want to tell you, those guys don't have your testimony. Those guys don't have your story. This is a personal connection that we have, that we have uniquely with other people. And this is what we need to share. We need to share that. This is the message. This is where it starts. Look, the things I used to do, he saved me from those things. She says, come see a man. He told me all the things that I ever did. It's almost like she's proud of that because despite those things, the message is so good and so big, it's bigger than those things. And so we can see why she's so excited to share her story. And she says, could this be the Christ? She's telling these men, she has an audience with these men. Could this be the Christ? Who's the evangelist in the story? She's the evangelist. Who's not the evangelist? The disciples. They're not the evangelists here. What are the disciples doing? They're saying, Jesus, why are you talking to her? We're never going to be effective in our evangelism if we have that attitude. That was the Pharisaical attitude. Why are you talking to them? Why are your disciples talking to them? Why does Jesus go to dinner at people's house that aren't, you know, as good as I am or good as us or religious as us? They're not effective in their evangelism. It was simply a woman who had a story that was personal about what God did for her, and she shared it. This transformation that occurred, one, she left the things of the world, and two, she became a witness to the world in regards to what Jesus has done for her. Those are signs of transformation, a changed life. But then this evangelist then shows us the third thing that often happens to us when we are transformed is the realization that our life here on earth is about a mission to reach people. Is that how we see our life? We see it as a mission to reach people for Jesus Christ? Look at verse 30. It says, then they went out of the city and they came to Jesus, came to him. And in the meantime, the disciples urge him, saying, Rabbi, eat. So they left Jesus alone to go into the city. Jesus is having this spiritual encounter with this woman, crossing all these lines. And they're thinking, why are you talking to her? And then the second thing is, Jesus, you're hungry. He hadn't eaten in a while, probably. And they probably just ate. So they're thinking food. In verse 32, it says, Jesus said to them, I have food to eat, which you don't know about. This is the first place that soul food is introduced. I have food that you don't know about. So what are the disciples thinking? Verse 33, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Did somebody sneak him some sardines? Or did somebody give him some bread and we didn't see what was going on? Jesus is saying, I have food that you don't know about. Does he have a secret stash somewhere? And then Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Food. Are you thinking about food now? This might be the time where your tummy starts grumbling. And you start losing focus and thinking about Brahms and how close it is. I think they're advertising a sundae today. It is ironic on Sunday, but this is what the disciples were like. Food, he needs food. And Jesus says, I have food. It's soul food. When we think about food, we think food is, it's necessary. It's for our health. It's for our strength. If you don't eat for a long enough period of time, you die. So food is life. It's energy. It's satisfaction. And Jesus is using this analogy of food, and he's saying, look, there's something greater that drives a Christian. And he's comparing it to food. He's comparing it to a life source, an energy, a sustainer, something that gives to us what we need physically. And he's saying, my food consists of a diet of two things. Number one, a good portion of doing God's will. And number two, a side of finishing his work. Why is this important? If we view our life as a Christian, simply as learning, getting information, doing a few things for Christ, feeling like that's how we're supposed to live, maybe thinking of it more of a spectator sport. We watch people do Christian things. When that happens, we are starving our soul spiritually. Starving our soul spiritually. Not doing God's will, not surrendering our life to what God wants. To live our life in a way where we say we're Christian, but we're really, we just do our own thing. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross. To be a Christian means that we follow Jesus. It means his will, not our will. This is the big shift. The disciples were still at a place where they were thinking more about themselves, more about their needs, more about what seems good to them, more about what they want to do, when in reality, Christianity is not about us at all. It's about him. And so there are many Christians that can't understand why their soul is not satisfied, why they have to keep going from thing to thing to make them happy. They're addicted maybe to new things just to get them excited about something. And that's very sad. And the problem may be is because you're not doing God's will. You're not surrendered to what he wants. And Jesus says that our very existence as a Christian is built upon doing his will. It's like food. It's doing his will. That's what it's all about. And that's where I find so many problems that we have as Christians. It's just in this one thing. We're just not doing his will. And so we're more in the flesh than we are in the spirit. And we're just not satisfied. And we're looking at the things we don't have. And we're not content. And the problem may be is we're just not doing God's will. God's will is like food. God's will, doing God's will, it strengthens us. It energizes us. It makes the things of the world seem meaningless. Jesus said, I don't need to eat. I have something better going on. I'm talking to this woman about eternal life. Who needs food at a time like this? I'm being fed in my spirit by talking to her about eternal life. I'm so full spiritually, he would say. This is so exciting. What happens if a Christian never gets in the game? Never tells someone about Jesus or the hope that lies within them, and they become bored. Do you know the answer to being bored as a Christian is to start sharing the gospel. Start telling people about Jesus, which is part of doing his will. Doing his will is scary. Doing his will feels like jumping off a cliff and hoping you have a parachute. Jesus is the parachute. Doing God's will takes us out of what we can predict and what we can understand. It puts us in a realm where we have to live and walk by faith and not by sight. It's very exciting. And I'll tell you, for a long time in my life, I looked for that thrill. I looked for fulfillment. I looked for excitement. And it wasn't until I surrendered my life to Jesus and gave him the keys to do whatever he wanted in my life. And I'll tell you, sometimes I wish my life would be a little more boring. I can't handle the excitement. But he's saying that's our food. But not only that, it's then to finish his work. What that means is, sometimes we can have like a 5-hour energy shot of excitement. Sometimes we do one thing and we get a burst and we're like, oh, this is great. I shared the gospel. I, I went and reached out to people, or I did something. I went to a conference or a retreat or something. It was just so amazing. But yet, it's just a one-shot thing. It's not something that's sustained over a lifetime. And this is what Jesus is saying. It's the most fulfilling thing a person can experience is doing God's will day in and day out until the time we're finished with his work. What that means is God has work for each individual to do. Work to do. That's his will. And we do that until the day that we go to be with him face to face. That may be the answer of why you struggle to be satisfied, why you're prone to falling after all these things of the world to try to just temporarily satisfy you. It may be that, yes, you are a Christian, but you're not doing his will. You're doing what you want to do. In Psalm 106:14, talking about the children of Israel, it says that they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tested God in the desert, meaning we test God when we don't do his will and begin to complain about our life and the things that we don't have. And it says that God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their souls. In other words, they kept begging God, God, we don't have meat. Give us meat. Give us meat. That's like us saying, I don't have this. Give me this. I got to have this. And God might say, okay. And when we get it, our soul will be lean, but our flesh will be fat, so to speak. So in verse 35, it says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? And in other words, that was a common principle in farming. You plant and you wait for 4 months and then the harvest comes. And he said, don't you guys, you say that? He says, look, that analogy is a little different than what I'm talking about in reaching souls. He says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. Most commentators believe that as those that Jesus was speaking to, as they would look up out in the fields, they would see masses of people in white coming towards them, the people from the city, coming towards them. And Jesus used that as an analogy to say, look at the fields. They're white for the harvest, and there's all these people coming out to hear what was going on. Mind you, this all started with one woman who nobody ever would talk to, who is touched by God. And Jesus says, the time is now. He's telling us that. The time is now. You know, the Bible tells us that the biggest problem in regards to reaching the lost is a supply and demand problem. Meaning the supply is so great, the needs are so great of people who need to hear the message that you have, your testimony and the gospel and the words of eternal life, and yet there's just not enough people to tell them. And the statistics of Christians that have shared their faith or share their faith regularly, in one study I showed, is only 5% of all Christians actually have shared their faith with somebody in the last year. So there's a supply. Jesus is saying, look, the supply is there. I just don't have people that will go and meet the supply. Too busy, too caught up, too focused on their life, too focused on their jobs, on their education, on their houses, on, you know, their sports teams or whatever. This is serious. This is an indictment. What Jesus is saying is that we have a mission. And we need to see ourselves as those in this world, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, ambassadors for the kingdom of God, those who are here as lights in this world. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves and do things. What I'm saying is you probably will enjoy yourself so much more and be so much more fulfilled when you do God's will and finish it. And I do know that something, I can't even explain it, something happens when we just share our faith with people. Now, Jesus in verse 36, I think this is very important. This is what we have to understand when we see the importance of sharing our faith, is we have to understand the results are not up to us. We give testimony to God. The results are not up to us. We're not salesmen. We don't peddle something. We don't have to do the convincing. But we do have to be faithful. And this is what Jesus is saying in verse 36. He says, he who reaps, so that agricultural example, he who reaps, he who collects the fruit, he who goes out into the grape vineyards and gets the grapes, that person, they receive wages. They get paid for doing that. And they gather, so now he transitions that analogy. He says they gather fruit for eternal life. So how's that for a motivation? So we're talking eternal things here. We're talking forever things. We're talking spiritual things. We're talking supernatural things. So when we talk in those terms, of course it's going to be amazing to be a participant in God and his desire to reach people. And he says that the results, if you get an opportunity to be the one who picks the grape, where knowing that there are others who planted the seed, who watered the seed, who tilled the seed, who took care of the seed, and you might be one, you just picked the little grape off. So that the payment is an eternal payment, is what he's saying. But then he says that both he who sows, or he who plants the seed, and he who reaps, one who gathers the fruit, may rejoice in heaven. This is the joy of heaven. Think about in heaven, there's going to be joy there. There's not going to be joy. Think about that. It's going to be this amazing joy in heaven. I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be smiling in heaven. But then we're told when something is going on down here on earth, this cooperation between people who share the gospel with someone or tell a friend or a neighbor about Jesus, invite them to hear about Jesus or whatever it is, and maybe the person never inquires again, or, you know, like some of my neighbors, they never seem to want to have anything to do with it anymore. I hope my neighbors aren't listening. If you are, get to church. But that may be just one step in the process of tilling the land. Don't ever think it's all done because you shared the gospel and they were kind of interested, but not this interested. Now they don't want to talk about it anymore. Don't ever say that's it. Because what we see here, it can be, not in all instances, but it can be a process where there's multiple people who share from different places, from different angles. But here what we see is, no matter if we're the ones that plant the seed or we're the ones that get the fun part of just picking this ripe fruit, that all these other people did all this work to get to that place, it doesn't matter. The eternal benefits and rewards are all the same. So we don't have to be the deal closer. You know, if you go to a car dealership to buy a car and, you know, you go through these cycles of, you know, people coming in and it seems like they just want to wear you down until you have no resistance anymore. And then they bring in the closer and I got to talk to the manager and he comes back and you do. We don't have to do that. We just lovingly share Jesus with people faithfully. That in itself brings eternal reward. Not the one who picks the fruit. And pray you get to do that too. That's really cool. But here's the thing. It's the joy. The eternal joy. The thing in heaven that makes heaven burst out in joy is when one sinner comes to repentance. In Luke chapter 15, you find the stories, these different stories, parables about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And in all of them, you see joy breaking out in heaven. In Luke 15:7, it says, I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who needs no repentance. Just think about what's going on in heaven as they hear the news across the world right this moment of people getting saved. Whether in Africa or South America or China or Iran or Israel or whatever, that all these people right now getting saved, heaven's just going, yeah, right on, let's go. Thank you. That's what's going on in heaven. In Luke 15:10, it says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In verse 32, it says, I was right. We should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and he's alive. Now he is lost and then he's found. And this is what's going on in heaven. It's all in regards to the joy of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. So in verse 37, it makes sense where it says, the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. Well, we're in this all together. I sent you, tells the disciples, I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. The Samaritans, the work is already being done by Jesus, by probably their understanding of the first five books of the Bible, which they studied, definitely through this woman. So they're doing the work. And the disciples, they have been clueless because they've been focused on themselves. And Jesus is telling them, look, now you have opportunity to pick ripe fruit and you didn't do anything. And that's okay. That's good too. I sent you, in verse 37, I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have not entered into their labors. So all of it in regards to sowing and reaping the gospel, all of it is eternal. All of it is God's will. All of it is good. All of it will change our life for doing it. And all of it will make heaven rejoice. Don't close your Bibles yet. Just one more. Let me squeak this out. So we take all this gold, gather it together into one person, the Savior. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. Look what he says in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Notice, they didn't have to go through a purification process. They didn't have to be more religious. They didn't have to attend church. They didn't have to sign up to do anything. They just heard the message and believed in it, and now you have a revival breaking out. They did this, it says, because of the word of the woman who testified. All she did is say, he told me things. He told me all that I ever did. And she shared that. And she shared, I think this is the Messiah. So those from the city, they come out, the Samaritans, to Jesus. And what do? They urge him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. They just wanted to be with Jesus. In verse 41, it says, many more believed because of his own word, of Jesus' word, the truth that sets them free. The woman pointed to him, and they came to hear the truth, and they heard the truth. In verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So we heard what she said, but it wasn't until we heard the words of truth of Jesus Christ, and that is the gospel. In Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. Look, the fields are white. They're ready for the harvest. It's plentiful, as Jesus said, but the laborers are few. Jesus said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So I want to pray that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and this may be convicting for us this morning, convicting in a good way. And Lord, I pray that as we see, hear, and understand your words, that we would live as Christians according to your will. Lord, it's so hard in our culture to prioritize you. There's so much selfish ambition that we all have. So much desire to get ahead, to do better, to achieve, to accomplish, to succeed. And none of that matters if we're not doing your will, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for the church. I pray for believers. I pray for true Christians here who are born again. I pray that you would ignite a fire in our heart to send us into the harvest, whatever that means. Send us into the harvest. I pray for divine appointments. I pray we'd be ready simply to share the hope that lies within us. I pray that we would not fear or be discouraged in a way that stops us from sharing, but we would see the privilege, the honor, and the results and the reward of simply being faithful to share. And we do pray for divine appointments. We do pray that you would give us boldness, empower us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to realize what great news we have. We have the answer, Lord, to the people's problems, the deep problems, the living water. Lord, help us to be vessels, to be ambassadors, to be light. And if there's anybody here this morning that if you were to die today, you would not be sure where you would end up. You must be born again. I beg you not to wait. Believing is seeing. Jesus is here inviting you. He's in the midst of us. He's saying, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. All you who are deeply thirsty. Can't be satisfied. Trying to go to the different wells of the world. Come to Jesus now. Lay down your life. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. If we're not born again, we're dead right now in our sins. Jesus came to give life and that more abundantly. You can right now, right in your seat, right where you are, just cry out in your heart to God and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord. I have sinned against you. Tell him, have mercy on me, God, please have mercy on me. I now put my trust in you, my faith in you. I believe in you, God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and we are gonna worship the Lord in song before we leave here. If anybody would like prayer this morning, then I just encourage you to come on up front. Our prayer team will be up front. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this would be a good time to do that. If you prayed in your heart to do that, just come on forward and pray with our prayer team. God bless you guys. I love you guys. Let's worship the Lord.